Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 10. I desire that we read from the verse number 13 to the verse number 16 in our first reading this morning with the help of the Lord. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, which have been done in you, they had a great while ago repented, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted to heaven, shall be thrust down to hell. He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me. And he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me. This far I desire that we read in our first reading. And now, before our Heavenly Father, let us bend our knees and unite our hearts in prayer to the Lord. O Lord of mercy, pure and holy, of love no one can estimate. Thou art worthy, O Heavenly Father, that every knee bend before Thee. Thou art worthy of worship, honor, and glory. Praise belong to Thee, O Lord, for Thou art the great Creator. Thou art the only Savior of our souls. Thou art the one that is feeding us with manna, this manna from above, Thy holy word, the Gospel. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, Thy word is flowing like a river of life. The streams of grace and the showers of blessings. Thou hast given us, O Heavenly Father, this food that will never diminish. Thy teaching in Christ, O Lord God Almighty, is like a fountain that will never run dry. Gracious Lord, our loving Heavenly Father, we desire to thank Thee for Thy goodness and mercy, for Thy patience and loving kindness. O Father, great is Thy love and Thy faithfulness. Thou hast promised to us in Christ that Thou wilt be with Thine own even to the end of the world, that Thou wilt not forsake us, that Thou wouldst not leave us as orphans in this world. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, so many centuries have passed, so many generations of the mankind through this earth, and the sin is being multiplied and sinfulness intensified. And the people are suffering the consequences of sin even in this life, on every side, wherever we look. Gracious Lord, hatred, anguish, fear, envy, bloodshed, oppression, dishonesty, immorality, degradation of every kind has flooded this earth. The power of darkness is raging over the mankind, destroying the souls, destroying the earth. And often it seems that everything is falling apart, O Lord. As if the time that Thou hast prophesied so long ago has already arrived. A famine upon the face of this earth. Not only starvation because of the lack of bread and water, but that pure and simple teaching of Thy holy word. So we bow down today and we worship Thee with gratitude, with love and thanksgiving, O Lord. Blessed be Thy holy name for the salvation in Christ. Glory and honor to Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast revealed Thy truth to the weak, to the small, to those that are nothing in the sight of the world, and yet the precious blood of Christ was shed for the cleansing of the souls that Thou hast redeemed. O Lord God, our loving Heavenly Father, we pray today that Thou spread Thy loving arms and that Thou gather to Thy bosom in love, in peace, giving new joy all the hearts, O Lord, that Thou hast chosen for Thy dwelling place. O Lord God Almighty, in this restless time, Thou give true rest to the souls that Thou hast redeemed. As impurity and corruption is flooding the whole earth, Thou, O Heavenly Father, adorn our souls into the purity and holiness of our blessed Redeemer. O Lord God Almighty, Thou make us strong in this holy faith of our fathers, the faith of the Holy Prophet, this faith in Christ, the precious cornerstone, our city of refuge, the mountain of our salvation, our blessed Redeemer, our great High Priest. O Lord God Almighty, Thou enlarge our hearts and fill us with that warm, pure, heavenly love of Thine. That in that love, O Heavenly Father, we may worship Thee and also love one another. May that love of Thine sweeten every day of our pilgrimage and give new strength to us to walk meekly with a humble heart upon the path that leads to the heavenly glory. O righteous Heavenly Father, great is Thy love and Thy faithfulness. Truly Thou art the King of kings and the Lord of lords, and yet Thou hast chosen to dwell in the hearts of Thy people. O make us and keep us in Christ. Make us Thine own, O Lord, and bless us with Thy continual presence, Thy guidance, Thy instruction. May our hearts, O Lord God Almighty, in true godliness worship Thee. Worship Thee in spirit and in truth, all the time, in every place. Teach us to worship Thee with love and gratitude, with joy and gladness, for great is Thy goodness and Thy faithfulness. Thy mercy cannot be measured, O Lord. We thank Thee for all that Thou art doing for us. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, may that blessed hope of Thine, hope of thy coming, thy great and glorious triumph, thy return. May that hope keep us in expectation of that day. May our heart and mind be set up upon the heavenly things. Thou teach us, O Heavenly Father, to follow in the steps of the Savior and to trust in thy grace. Thou daily, continually purify us, and may our hearts welcome and deeply appreciate that correction, that instruction, that guidance that thou art giving us by thy Spirit, by thy Holy Word. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, thou teach us to feast upon that bread of life. Enlarge our hearts, illuminate our minds, and make our soul free in Christ. Free from doubts and fears, free from worry and discouragement. Thou grant us, O Heavenly Father, that peace that passeth human understanding. For thou hast washed away our sins, and thou hast forgiven our disobediences. Give that abundant joy of thy salvation into our hearts. And then, O Heavenly Father, as we look up to thee in our prayers, in our thanksgiving, thou continually fill us with thy presence, and then rule thou our lives. Grant to us also a loving and forgiving heart, a loving and understanding mind, and a soul filled with peace, peaceful, peacemaking, that the name of Christ be exalted, that the power of thy Spirit be manifested and revealed clearly, that even the blind may be healed and see the brightness of thy light, of thy truth, O Lord. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, today, as the world is turning nation against nation, as we hear about wars and rumors of wars, as the hatred, murders, bloodshed, corruption, and all the evils in the world are raging far and wide, thou look upon thy children scattered far and wide across this world, and thou, O Heavenly Father, unite all the hearts in the love of Christ, in the peace of thy forgiveness, in the safety of thy keeping of our souls, O Lord. And thou fill our hearts with gratitude as the sun is shining upon this earth and the light of day is moving across around. Gracious Lord, may prayer after prayer, praise after praise, worship after worship, rise up toward the heavenly throne, that through our great high priest, our worship may be pleasing and acceptable unto thee. O gracious Lord, our loving heavenly Father, continue thy work of our salvation. Thou keep the door of grace open. Thou keep continually outpouring thy blessings. May the dead hear the voice of the Son of Man and live. Let the blessed words that thou hast proclaimed, the words of thy love and goodness and mercy, be fulfilled. That thou hast loved the world so much, that thou hast given thine only begotten Son, that none of those that believe on him should perish, but have everlasting life. Gracious Lord, Thou unite the hearts and minds of Thy children in the heart of the Savior. And Thou, O Heavenly Father, grant us that perfect harmony of love and peace, because Thou hast given to our souls that blessed release. Thou hast made us free from evil. O loving Heavenly Father, glory and honor to Thy holy name. Thou art God and there is none other. To Thee belong worship and praise, honor and glory, forever and ever. Amen. In our second reading, I desire that we read from the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10, from the verse number 17 to the verse number 24. Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 10. Let us continue our reading on the verse number 17 to the verse number 24 with the help of our Lord. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through Thy name. And He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. In that hour Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, who the Son is, but the Father, and who the Father is, but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples, and said privately, Blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. This far I desired to read in our second reading from the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the word that He received from the Heavenly Father, as He has said that the words He was teaching were not His own, not His private words apart from the Heavenly Father, but the words that He received from the Father to give to us. Here, in the beginning of the verses that we read, verse 13, 14, and 15, we see that the Lord is speaking against the cities of Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum, the cities where the people of Israel lived, the cities where our Lord and Savior was teaching. And He did many miracles there. And yet, the people in those cities did not believe. But then, we read that just outside the city of Capernaum, there was one or two blind men. And they believed, and their eyes were open. The citizens of those cities did not believe, and they remained in darkness. When we read this, it might seem like a harsh rebuke. And I think that quite a few people understand this. A rebuke that is as harsh, almost close to a curse. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! But we can think about our Lord and Savior approaching the city of Jerusalem, a bloody city, a city where the murderers were in power as rulers. And he wept. If only that city would realize, understand that this could be the time of great blessing. The word of God is being proclaimed there. So perhaps we can read these verses in a different way, with compassion, with pity. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! If the mighty works had been done in Tyre and Sidon, the cities of the Gentiles, the cities that were filled with darkness and knew not the truth of God, even they would have repented. But then the Lord says that it will be more tolerable for the cities of total darkness that did not have the opportunity to hear the word of God, the message from heaven, than for those that claim to be the people of God and yet do not keep the word of God. To whom much is given, much will be asked, required, demanded from that person. But what is the thing that keeps the people that have the name of the people of God? What keeps them from receiving the blessings of the Lord? We read in the verse number 15, "And thou, Capernaum, which are self-exalted, thinking of themselves to be as high as heaven, shall be thrust down to hell." See that human pride that is coming in so many different ways and trying to place barriers between us and the blessings that the Lord is given to us. That human pride actually comes from the evil one. He is the one that was first self-deceived, and now with the same deceit he is trying to deceive everyone else. Not only he is doing that, but in his great deception, if a man or woman, a person, is striving for righteousness in the midst of iniquity of this world, that evil spirit will try to accuse that righteous person that is pride and self-exaltation. Why not agree with everybody else and be in peace with Satan, with the evil spirit? And the Lord answered that not only Bethsaida, not only Chorazin, not only Capernaum, not only the land of Galilee and Judea have heard the word of God, but throughout all the ages afterward until the coming of our Lord, he that heareth you heareth me, and he that despiseth you despiseth me, and he that despiseth me despiseth him that hath sent me. How many people have misused this, whether intentionally or in ignorance, thinking that just because they have the name, which, by the way, they're not given from the Lord, but they took that name by themselves. Like in the old prophecy we read once before, and maybe more than once before, that in the last days, quite a few women will get hold of one Israelite and say, we will eat our own bread, we will wear our own clothing, just let us have thy name. They wanted to be formally, but not really, married to Christ. They want to have the name to be the bride of Christ, and yet they will not eat the bread that the husband, the head of the household, would provide. They have their own food, the carnal teaching. They have religion, but not faith. They have the rules, but not the word of God. They have the laws and traditions, and yet not the teaching of salvation, forsaking sin and world and trusting in the Lord and Him alone. Or they would boast of the grace of God and yet walk not in Christ. Their own clothing, their own righteousness, their own pride, their own bread, feeding upon something that is not pure gospel teaching, and yet they want the name of Christ. And they say, who is hearing us is hearing Christ. No, not at all. The Lord says, he that heareth you heareth me. So our life and our teaching should be gospel teaching and Christian life. Then through us, the word of God is sounding forth, and through us the testimony of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is given to this world. Then the word of our Savior is fulfilled, that his people, his disciples, his faithful ones are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. A city upon a hilltop that is shining all around and cannot be hidden. But then again, when we live in Christ and when we proclaim the word of God in words and in deeds, and we are, because of that, despised and rejected, and the world is admiring their idols and giving to their idols the name like Savior, Christ, Miracle Doer. Just about anything. Love and joy. And yet, when we look into that way of living and we compare that with the teaching of the Word of God, we can plainly see another idol. An idol in disguise. Not the true faith in Christ. It's such a rare thing nowadays to see the people striving and desiring with their whole heart to live in the Lord. But then, when we are despised and rejected, let us pray to the Lord that he would add to us peace and joy. That we be aware of the fact that that rejection is not really against us. We are only people. And according to the flesh, not really that much different than those that are enjoying sin. It's the rejection against our Lord and Savior, even more against the Heavenly Father. And then with sadness in our heart and with pity and compassion, we can say, woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. It shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. Poor Capernaum, so self-exalted, ready to fall down into hell. Compassion, not vengeance. For the vengeance belongs to the Lord, and the day of judgment is coming. So, the Lord sent his disciples, two and two, 70 of them, the second group that he has chosen. The group that he divided in two and two, to send each two into a different place, village, town, city, and perhaps to some individuals or individual families. And they did what he commanded them to do, and they're returning back with great joy, and all excited they say, "Lord, even the devils, you see, the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Now the devil was an awful character, a terrible person in the sight of all the Israelites, all the Hebrews. Satan was something awful, something terrible, something so great that the people had no power over him. And now they see that through the name of Christ, even that awful power of darkness, the evil spirit, is subject unto them. But then the Lord is answering, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And in the past years, when I was young and was listening during the services to the Word of God, I heard the explanation of this verse that says that Satan is as quick as a lightning to do something evil. At one moment of our lack of awareness, he's going to do a lot of damage. Well, maybe, maybe not. Satan is a spirit that is torn with hatred. And I think that he not only hates everyone else, but even himself. A very terrible situation. A spirit that has the condemnation of hell inside, in himself. And he cannot escape. So he might be quick, he might be strong, he might be anything, but look at the lightning. When it shines, it's a great flash of light, and then nothing. Darkness. If that lightning is not going to strike something that can be ruined and destroyed, the lightning will just give a great flash and a great noise, and after that, nothing. And so is the power of Satan. He can do nothing against those that are in Christ. The power of Satan is in the belief of the people. When the people believe his lies, then he has powers. Then he has strength to destroy them. But when we defend ourselves with this sword of the truth, as our Lord and Savior did, saying, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Satan is nothing." And when there is bright light in the hearts of Christians, Satan is exposed and he has to flee away. But then again, we may think about another lightning. Our Lord and Savior said that the coming of the Son of Man will be like a lightning that starts from the east and shines all the way to the west. Now, what is the difference between these two lightnings? The brightness of the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be so great as a lightning that covered the whole heaven. But then it will not be just a quick flash of light and then darkness again. That light will shine on and on. It's shining even now. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is the light that is lasting, will never diminish. The glory of the kingdoms of this world is but a flash, like a blitz, a moment, and then it disappears. And even if one would be the son of a king, the heir of the throne, and born in fame and raised in human glory and living in abundance of everything that is carnal pleasure and anything that is attractive, to the sinful man. Living that way all of his life. And living a long time, which rarely happened to the kings and rulers. Even then, that life would be just a moment in comparison with the glorious and blessed eternity with our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the Lord said that, yes, Satan can flash as a lightning, but then he has fallen from heaven, and he is always falling before those that are in Christ, that trust in the Lord. And then the Lord says, behold, I give unto you the power. He is the source of every good gift. He is also the channel of the abundant goodness and mercy, love and peace and joy that the Father is sending to us through him, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He gives the power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Now, chances are that some of the disciples walking and going after the assignment that the Lord has given them, that some of them might have stepped on a serpent or scorpion, and really there was no harm in that possible. But I think that serpents in themselves are not necessarily sinful creatures, and not more under the power of Satan than perhaps mosquitoes or any other creatures. I think that the last phrase in this expression is really explaining what the Lord meant by these words. All the power of the enemy. Serpent has that poison that is deadly for those that are bitten by the serpent. And scorpion has also that poison that is deadly for the others, but we heard that scorpion in confusion will strike itself and die of its own poison. And so is sin and Satan. So these words really signify a spiritual meaning to us, that those that trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, through Christ, by his power, have overcome all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt a Christian soul. But then the Lord said, who wants to follow me, let him deny himself and pick up the cross. And the cross of Christ is not an overwhelming joy, excitement, pleasure. No, not at all. Cross means suffering. And there will be suffering, and there will be difficulties. And we know that every day. And yet, through Christ, the grace of God is renewed every day. And nothing shall by any means hurt those that are in Christ. But then the Lord says, notwithstanding, rejoice not in using the power that God has given you against the spirits. Oh, there are so many evil spirits. So many people under the power of sin and darkness. And even if we would be given that power that was given in the beginning to the apostles and to the 70 disciples to cast out demons and proclaim the word of God and heal the sick and give sight to the blind and cleanse the lepers and so on, still there will be millions upon millions of people in sin. So the greatest joy is not in the number of those that believe, even though that is a joy. And it's a wonderful thing to see at least one soul at a given time turning from evil to the light, trusting in the Lord and being transformed and transferred from sin into salvation, into the grace of God. It's wonderful, it's glorious. But the greatest joy and the most glorious fact is to have my name, our names, written in heaven, in the book of life. To know that for all of this that God is doing, for all that goodness and grace, only to Him belong honor and glory. We claim no credit. We claim no rights. But we are deeply filled with gratitude for His goodness and His mercy. And then the Lord Himself rejoiced in His spirit. And He said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. The Father is giving to whom He wants. And none of those that truly received and really understand the goodness and grace of God will ever say, look, I was better than the sinner next to me, so God has chosen me because of that. No. Paul the Apostle said that Christ came to save sinners, and I'm the greatest sinner. So it seemed good in the sight of our Heavenly Father. And then the Lord rejoicing in the salvation of those that He has come to redeem, shared with His disciples the joy, the thrill of serving the Heavenly Father. That the Lord Jesus Christ is rejoicing in that all things are delivered to Him of His Father. Now what was that all? We read in the Revelation, as John is watching intently, that in that heavenly kingdom, in the realm of God's glory, there was a book sealed with seven seals in the hands of the Almighty. And the voice in heaven proclaimed, who is worthy to receive the book? And there are mighty angels, glorious heavenly beings, and none is worthy to receive the book from the hands of the Heavenly Father, to break the seals and to fulfill the will of God. And then John looked through his tears, and there was Lamb as slain. That Lamb of God received the book, fulfilled the will of the Father, broke the chains of our slavery, broke the bars of our imprisonment, took upon Himself our iniquities, our guilt, and the load of our sins, and carried all that on the cross. It was an awful thing. It was enormous sufferings. But then, as He was going through all of that, He was looking forward to that ever-excelling heavenly glory. So having all of that in mind, having all of that in heart, the Lord says, I thank Thee, O Father. And he says to the disciples, all things are delivered to me of my Father. No man knows the Son. No man knoweth who the Son is, but the Father. And who the Father is, but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal the Father. Now, when Philip went to seek Nathanael and found him, Philip said, we have found the Messiah. So they knew that was the Son of God. Or at least they thought they knew. They knew that John the Baptist is not the Son of God. John said so. They knew that the priests and Pharisees are not sent by the Lord. So they knew who that person is. And yet the Lord says here, and no man knoweth the Son. Only the Father knoweth the Son. There is so much more. Even when we live in Christ, when we walk in the grace of God, when we keep the Word of God, and years have passed by in that service, in that ministry, in that relationship, still there is so much more in the Son, so much more that only the Father knows how much more. And yet, the Father has drawn the souls that he has redeemed in Christ to the Savior. No one can come unto me, said the Lord Jesus Christ, unless my Father withdraw him. So, no one knows the Father but the Son. And yet, as much as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has revealed to us the face of the Heavenly Father, how wonderful and how glorious is that understanding. How great is that awareness that the Heavenly Father is our Father. What is the thing? What is the power? What is the grace of God in our hearts, in our souls, that keeps us from even desiring what we used to enjoy before the Lord has delivered us from sin? Is the revelation of the Father's face in the face of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so he turned again unto his disciples privately, and he said to them, blessed are the eyes which see the things that ye see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. How true. Simeon, a faithful, godly man, came to the temple in Jerusalem when the mother of our Lord and her husband brought the child in. And Simeon took the child into his arms and he praised the Lord and said, now, O Lord, let thy servant go in peace. Depart from this earth. I have seen what I have been longing for, the salvation of thy people of Israel. Well, he was not a ruler. He was not living in the palaces of the high priest. He was a humble man, but a godly man. He was waiting that in spite or contrary to the appearance, just totally opposite of what the situation in Jerusalem would indicate, the salvation of God is coming. Is coming. It's such a wonderful thing to see the grace of God and then in peace depart from the face of this earth, knowing that next moment we open our eyes and see the face of our Savior. So, many prophets and wonderful godly men desired to see. Oh, I think even Moses desired to enter into that promised land and to see that Mount of Moriah, to see the hills where Abraham walked and Isaac with the load of wood for the sacrifice, and Abraham holding the knife in his hand, that knife that was so heavy to him. I think that Moses desired to see that site where the temple, glorious, magnificent temple, will be built, where they perhaps intended or planned to spread the tent, the tabernacle of the Lord. Perhaps Moses would have liked to see the place, Bethlehem of Judah, where the Savior was going to be born. And he couldn't see any of those things. And yet, Moses went his way that the Lord has appointed for him. And instead of the promised land on earth that soon will be corrupted with sin again, he went to that heavenly promised land in peace and joy. So, truly, many have desired to see how the grace of God is going to transform sinners and make them the heirs of the heavenly kingdom. A glorious thing that the Lord is doing even today. They desired to see that, but it was not time yet for them to see it. The grace of God did not spread far and wide all over the earth to the Gentiles to bring them into the fold of our Redeemer until the time appointed. So now we look at that, and when we see that a heart is opening like a morning flower to the rays of the morning sun, opening to the Word of God and believing in Christ, a soul is delivered from the power of darkness into the realm of light, the grace of God. Then we rejoice. It's great, it's wonderful, it's glorious. It's wonderful to see what the Lord has given to us in Christ. But the most wonderful is yet coming. In the times of old, those that are now in heaven desired to see this grace given to us. We that received this grace in Christ desire to see the glory that they enjoy now. Someday, the whole flock will be together, and the people of God will be united, not only in the Spirit, as wonderful as that unity is, but also far away from the presence of every evil, with the Lord, worshipping in joy and gladness, praising Him for that wonderful and glorious grace that kept us from evil, that was drawing us on and on until we reach the heavenly portals, all by His goodness and mercy, all through His grace. And therefore, to Him belong worship and praise, honor and glory forever. Amen.